super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Kevorkian's favorite patient, 42nd Street Pete.
I'm back. I'm back in black, because that's what I'm wearing, because you know who's going to show up today?
Yeah, sometime maybe. They sure haven't shown up yet.
He's en route. He just called me. He's on his way. He just had to stop for a bite to eat. And before you even get snide about this, he's not on a magic carpet. He's driving a 2003 Honda Accord. So there. So when I promise I'm going to have somebody on the fucking show, I'm going to have somebody on the fucking show. And that's that. But let me take a hit off this joint because I got some... I hate to start off a show with distressing news, but then life itself is distressing, so we're going to work it from there. So let me just take another hit. That is good. I don't know where it came from, but it's lovely. It's fucking wonderful. But unfortunately, my news isn't, because unfortunately, Michael Pataki and Joe Sarno have both passed away. Joe Sarno was a pioneer and a legend, and also has been called now the Bergman of 42nd Street. Joe made so many films, softcore, hardcore, some classics like Touch of Genie, Swedish Wildcats, to name a couple. And Joe was 89 years old, and unfortunately he passed away Monday. And I know this has hit a lot of people hard, especially Mike Razzo and the people up at Pop Cinema, because they've had a 12-year relationship with him, and Michael Bowen, who was his biographer. And I know there's a tribute page up. They just put this up on Facebook, and if I can read off this, you know, the HTTP, whatever that fucking thing is, /group.pmhp?GID=11517366851-5530, which fucking sounded stupid. Go on my Facebook page, you'll find it. Maybe just Google Joe Sarno. But people would really appreciate it if you would stop by, leave a comment about Joe for his family, because, like I say, a lot of people are shook up about this. And where I had, you know, really no personal attachment to Joe, I never really met him, came close, because actually last summer Joe did come out for a Chainsaw Kiss event in the city, and the fans were just fucking thrilled that Joe would come out to this, and he was just mobbed by his fans. And, you know, Joe was in so much demand for the last few years. We wanted to get him up at Wasteland, but he was booked in England, he was booked here, he was booked there. And, you know, both mics, I have to say this, you know, we're going to miss him. We're all going to miss him. He was a great guy. But I think you can take solace in this, that he lives on through guys like you who put out his work. And we're actually going to do a film with him and Mike, who was writing his biography. So he lives on through you guys, and in a certain extent through me, who reviews, you know, his stuff and puts it over. So, Joe, God bless you. Rest in peace. We're going to miss you. Well, I'm sure we'll all be toasting one up to you in that big grindhouse in the sky. So that's all I got to say on Joe. And to his friends, family, my condolences, and may Joe rest in peace. Michael Pataki was a character actor, primarily known for playing Russians, but he was in a lot of horror films. He was in Dead and Buried. He had the lead in Dracula's Dog, or Zoltan, Hound of Hell, whatever it was called, and was in that really great vampire film from the 70s called Grave of the Vampire, where he co-starred with William Smith. And if anybody's ever seen that, that fight scene at the end looked all too real. But unfortunately, Michael passed away at the age of 72. And again, may he rest in peace also. We'll miss him. And both of you gentlemen, it was an honor to have watched your stuff and been a part of this genre. So may you both rest in peace. And on the upside, we got a couple birthdays. Victor Bonacore from Chainsaw Kiss will be 26 Saturday, and we'll probably be drunker than shit when this airs. So Vic, have a good one. Stay safe. Don't get fucking killed out there hanging out all night. And another one. The mystery Heather is solved, Todd. I solved it.
Oh, yeah?
I solved the Heather mystery. It's Heather Drain, and I believe her birthday's today or tomorrow or the next day. But it's within this broadcast. Heather Drain, happy birthday, honey. You're great. We love you. And best wishes on your birthday.
And we're sorry we kept calling your name to someone else.
Yeah, it was Melissa. I don't know why the fuck I did that. I'm, you know, maybe I smoke too much weed. And again, maybe I don't smoke enough weed. But, yeah.
Melissa was a great sport about it, though. That's what I thought was cool.
I know. We're going to have them on, too.
Good, good. I hope so.
As a matter of fact, I think we should let fans get on and express their views.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's always something fucked up going on in this world, unfortunately. And, you know, that big, I can't even say it was big, as I heard it was, it tanked the Chiller Theater convention a couple weeks ago. But you know what the fucked up thing is about that? After every one of these shows, I run into somebody who got let go, fired, quit, whatever. And they just run up to me and piss in my fucking ear, you know, like, you know, guys, I really don't care. And I did share some information with a certain party who I won't name, who took that information and threw it up on a certain website with my picture and our man in the street and this and that and the other thing. Hey, I just passed on something I fucking heard. I don't even know whether it was true, but obviously it was because the person I heard it from wouldn't lie. But you know something? It's almost sour grapes at this point. I really don't care. I put a post up stating my position just to clarify a couple things that I had heard. And like I said, the bottom line is I don't give a fuck anymore. I don't care about these East Coast shows. They're too commercial. They're not fan-friendly. And I'm done with them. So, yeah, everybody who, you know, wasn't in my corner when I had my fucking problems, all of a sudden, oh, we want you to, you know, I'm not doing anything. Realize that. I'm not doing a goddamn thing. I'll talk about it. I'll write about it if I feel like it. But it's ancient fucking history, just like that show is probably ancient history, because none of these shows are going to do well. It's a bad economy. You can't keep hitting the people over the head and giving them fucking nothing in return. So that's all I got to say on that. I'm just tired of it. You know, like I say, after every show, somebody's got to run up to me and piss in my ear and, like, you know, get over it. It's done. I'm trying to be civil. But don't involve me in the fucking drama, because I don't want to hear it. And, oh, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of weird shit going on this week. Gay bashing, for example. I don't know where the fuck a lot of this shit is coming from. I really don't. But I got a lot of customers that are gay. I have a lot of fans that are gay, transgendered, lesbian, whatever, bi. It doesn't bother me. And it shouldn't bother anybody because it's none of their fucking business. You know, what somebody does and what somebody's orientation is, you know, that's that. That's the way they are. That's the way they're born. And yeah, a lot of women are born in a men's body and a lot of men are born in a women's body and they think they're fucked up. But unfortunately, that's some weird genetic things. And people can't help that. And for whatever reason, I don't know, you're down in this area. Wasn't there something in Missouri or Mississippi about some girl's picture being yanked out of a yearbook because she admitted to being a lesbian?
Oh, man, stuff like that goes on all the time around the Bible Belt, man.
Yeah, I know, but this was, like, up there.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
You know, I know it's the fucking Bible Belt and shit, but it's going on up here, too, because, you know, there was something, what the hell was it? Something happened in New York that they beat the crap out of a guy again. This is going back like almost to the 70s when this shit started. And then you had Stonewall, which, you know, basically gave people, you know, their props and things. But I don't understand what the fuck people get at it just, you know, because somebody's different, tormenting them and then beating them up. That's the worst part. I mean, there was somebody, actually, I think it was Marcia the other day told me about that. Either she was gassing up or somebody she knew was gassing up, and some transgendered woman got out of her car and started gassing up, and there was three macho guys basically giving her dirty looks and mouthing how they should go over and beat the shit out of her.
Jeez.
Wow. That's like real macho, because it's three of you against one of them no matter what they are. And hopefully the thing didn't happen. If it did, hopefully the bitch knew karate and fucking laid their asses the fuck out. So, you know, this is the fucking really weird shit that goes on, which it's none of anybody's fucking business. It just ain't what anybody wants to do, as long as it doesn't infringe on you. you know, like I said, I said before on this show, I said, I don't care who's sucking whose dick as long as it ain't mine. That's the way I look at it. I never had a problem with anybody doing anything. And it's just, you know, it's just fucking weird and crazy. I don't get it. And then like, somebody was telling me that they had posted a legit ad on Craigslist, and this guy answered the ad 6 fucking times to tell this person what a piece of shit they were and what an ugly bitch they were and this and that. 6 fucking times. You know what I said to them? He likes you. He wants to get with you, but he can't. This is his way. If he didn't have an interest, he wouldn't keep responding to the thing.
True.
So here's somebody with this little fucking whatever it is in their head or whatever fantasy or whatever sexual orientation is basically in their head. They're afraid to fulfill it, but yet they'll bash anybody who tries to fulfill their own. That's what gets me. That's what really gets me. So I fucking don't get any of this shit. It's just so fucking asinine and so fucking crazy and shit. And it's like they're picking on these people. You know, and I know it's something to do with the whole weird atmosphere of this country right now, where bigotry is coming back and all this bullshit just keeps coming back. This nasty fucking shit keeps coming back. Shit that we thought we put to bed just resurrects itself for some reason. And, you know, the whole thing is it's a tool of the ignorant. And some people are happily ignorant. They wallow in their ignorance because they don't want to better themselves. They just want to be like this. And this is the way they strike back. And it's fucking sick. And granted, there's not enough jobs. There's not this. There's not that. So, yeah. But why are you taking it out on the wrong fucking people? Take it out on the fucking people who created the situation. It wasn't the blacks. It wasn't the gays. It wasn't the Chinese. It wasn't the fucking Martians. It was the politicians and the corporate assholes. So why don't you take it out on them? There's your next minority to pick on. Them. Well, the trouble is they're not a minority. They're a majority now. It's pretty fucked up.
It is.
And the logic of it escapes me. It really does.
Well, people need to just allow people to be who they are, live their own lives. I mean, that's the key here is, you know, people say, I don't like the word tolerance. Well, you know what? The fact that you're breathing every day, we have to be tolerant of your stupidity. So, you know, you're not dead yet. So allow everybody else their own level of life. I mean, as long as no one's hurting anyone, as long as nobody's being, you know, damaged in any way, who cares? I mean, it's just like, you know, people who may, you and I are like best friends, man. We're like brothers, okay? I've never done a drug in my life. I've never thought about doing drugs. I've never even hung out with druggies, really. But you do drugs, and that's okay with me. Not drugs, but you do pot.
I smoke pot. Let's clarify.
Yeah, let's do that.
Knocking at my fucking door.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. But see, if you want to roll up a joint, that doesn't affect our friendship in any way because that's your life choice, and I accept you for who you are. That's the way it should be.
Yeah, but unfortunately, people aren't like that. I mean, I can accept just about anything except, you know, my big pet peeve is child molesting. You fucking do that, I'll kill you. But other than that, you want to fuck sheep? God bless you. Let's have a leg of lamb, you know? So that's the way I look at it. But leave fucking people alone. You want to wallow in your own misery. You want to be a miserable person. You want to sit there and let your hate consume you. Fine. But I always notice with these jerk-offs that it's always a group on one. It's always like that. And I don't know if you've been following the news. They had stabbed some Ecuadorian worker out here about a year ago, a group of kids that were out Mexican bashing. In other words, they were just getting somebody going home from a job. 6 kids would jump and beat the fuck out of them and leave them there. Well, they jumped somebody else, and I guess he fought back, and one kid stabbed the fucker to death. So again, this is a 6-on-1 bigotry mentality. Let's blame this. Yeah, a lot of these people shouldn't be allowed in the country. I'll admit it. As a matter of fact, I'll fucking give you an example of this. You remember last year these fuckers executed a bunch of kids in a North playground?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened? These kids were getting ready to go to college. They were talking in this playground. There was some people hanging around. The next thing they knew, they were on the ground. The 2 girls were raped. They executed the boys. They put a machete against this girl's neck, tried to cut her head off. They shot her, but she lived. This was 6 fucking illegals. I think no one was a citizen. I think the rest were illegals. They were also members of some scumbag South American gang. And They just went to court yesterday, and this brave young lady stood up to these fucking scumbags, and she's testifying against them. They sure get the fucking death sentence. I mean, this is what kills me. They turn a blind eye to these fucking people coming in, but these people are raping and murdering our children. And they should be kicked out. The one, you know, people want to come here to work, fine. People want to come here to rape and pillage, give it right back to them. Shoot them in the fucking head and throw them in a ditch, just like they did to them kids. Because that's the way they are down there. And we're supposed to accept that? Fuck no. Keep them out. And that's my fucking attitude with that, because I'm sick and tired of dealing with that shit, too. Every fucking day something goes on with one of these people. And you know something? A lot of people have written me on MySpace or Facebook and actually think New York is the way I describe things. Well, no, it's so far from that you don't even want to know. And I've actually had people ask me to be their tour guide and offer to pay me to take them to the hot spots in New York. If there are any, I don't know about them because I don't go to New York anymore. They just raised the transit 40-something fucking percent over there or 25% over here. There's nothing over there, boys and girls. There's nothing over there. Read about it. That's about it. Dig up old articles from the 70s and 80s and stuff. Read about it. Read my shit. Read Mike Weldon stuff. Read the Sleazoid Express. Read the Psychotronic video guide. Read Shock Cinema. Read anything Mike Accomando, any of those guys wrote, because those were the guys that were there. That's the only way you're going to know about it, because it doesn't fucking exist. And here's another one. Years ago, some woman was raped and murdered while 22 people looked on from various locations and did nothing. Same shit just happened this week. Some guy who obviously broke up a mugging or a rape in the subway got stabbed, staggered out of the subway, fell on the ground and lay there bleeding to death as approximately 13 people that were seen on video camera walked by him and did nothing. So, you want to come to New York? Guess what? It's going right back to the same fucking shithole it always was, and it's more corporate than ever, and there's nothing fun to do in there. Everything's overpriced. So like I say, read about it, because I'm moving the fuck out of this area. I've had it. And that's a given. So if anybody got a place for me to live that's cheap or something like that, you know, or if any woman wants to support my worthless ass in my fucking declining years, 40deuce@hotmail.com, spelled out. Now here's something you're going to relate to. You may have seen this. It's on Facebook. Still there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, I thought you just faded out of here. I put you to fuck to sleep.
No, you're okay. All good, man. You're all good.
See if you read this post. Okay, I admit I'm a handful. Unfortunately, most women won't repost this. I'm strong-willed, independent, and outspoken. I make mistakes. I'm out of control, and at times hard to handle. But if you can handle me at my worst, then you sure don't deserve me at my best. If you're a handful, then post this on your status. I dare you. And it says, thanks, Marcia. You know how many people posted this?
Too damn many.
Yeah. Well, what I did was, okay, I'm going to, you know, it ends at my friend Beverly here, who probably is a handful, but nevertheless, I put this out. If I can handle any of you at your worst, can you handle 42nd Street Pete at his best? Maybe a contest is in order. The lucky winner will walk or be carried from the room, be given a shopping spree at Victoria's Secret, and dinner at Denny's. But, you know, the downside is you're stuck with me until I decide to leave your place.
That's awesome.
So, that's it. You can, if you think you can do that, 40deuce@hotmail.com. We can have a contest. We were supposed to have a fucking contest, God damn it.
We're working on it. We're getting it together here.
Yeah, well, you know, every time you work on something, it takes years, thousands of lives. It's, you know.
It's not even true, you butthole.
Well, how long did it take to get this fucking show going? 3 years?
Yeah, but whose fault was that?
I know, it wasn't your. That is true. It wasn't your fault. But you finally had the good sense to wise up and get away from those fucking assholes.
Exactly, so. Exactly.
And now we have a top-rated show for whatever strange reason.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Gotta love it.
I know. It's crazy shit, though. But that's a good one. I'm a handful, too. Yeah, you know, I could have said something crude, though. You know, if you want a handful, shove your hand down my pants or something. But I didn't say that.
Well, so. I got to bring up something here for a minute, man. The Facebook thing is driving me nuts. Am I the only one who has really just hit the wall? I mean, I have gone as far as I can go. I like Facebook to stay in contact with people, to promote the shows, to let people know what we're doing at the network. But, man, I don't need to know that someone just got a smudge of grease on their chin, or that someone dropped a hamburger patty on the floor, or that someone stubbed their toe for the third time today. I don't need to know every little detail. And the thing is, since when did it become so damned important? Since when did everyone become so damned self-absorbed to the point where they actually think there's some kind of I don't even want to know if Steve Harris, the bass player from Iron Maiden, stubs his toe. And he's like one of my idols. It's like one of those things. I don't need to know everything you do from the minute you wake up until you go to bed and your little fingers quit typing. I don't need to know that you're sitting in a chair at a restaurant. I don't need to know that they put too much salt on your fries. This is getting out of hand. People have taken it too far. I liked MySpace because MySpace was fun. It had cool promotions. It had the ability to promote our shows, yet still stay in contact with friends and build friendships. And I'm not being mean to Facebook. It's just the fact that it's gotten so self-absorbed. It's like that and Twitter. And I'm like, look, to promote our shows, to meet our friends on there, to keep all of our friends updated on what we're doing, that's one thing. But man, come on, guys. It's gone too far. And Facebook and MySpace have taken the place of people picking up a telephone or going and hanging out at the movie theater. Man, people are Facebooking each other and watching the damn movies pirated online, and that's bullshit. You need to get your asses out, get off of the computer, and be a human being again, because for God's sakes, you've all turned into drones, and it's got to stop.
Yeah, I know. The trouble is now you can't even afford to go out, because what are they, jacking the movies up to $15 now or something?
Pretty damn close, depends on...
I know. You know, it's like... It's almost like if you could get away with it, and I'm sure there's some kind of fucking legal problem if you do it, is have screenings in bars. Yeah. You know, get a bar that's like, okay, like just for example, when we did that thing in Clifton with the Clash Bar. I mean, they got it, you know, taken off night and have screenings in bars. But something. I'm sure there's some kind of legal ramifications for showing a copywritten DVD in a bar.
Well, unless you get permission or whatever, but yeah, you know, that's...
Like they're going to give you permission. The only one who would give you permission would probably be Bill Lustig because he's cool and a couple other people.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. You got to do something cool because, you know, you're right. Avatar, all I'm hearing is, oh, Avatar is the biggest movie of all time. It's the greatest movie ever. It's the biggest thing. It's made more money than anything. It beat The Dark Knight. It beat Titanic.
Makes all them computer nerds want to go out and fuck giant blue women with slanty eyes. So. But
I got to tell you something about it. First of all, I tried watching it again. In the movie theater, I just was kind of... I thought it was way over long, and I got real tired of being in cartoon land. And I tried to give it another chance. And once again, I felt like, you know, the story was kind of meandering. It took forever to get any points across. It was too long. It was beautiful to look at, but after a while, I felt like the cartoon has got to end. The CGI is making me just nauseous. And then it got to the main fact. Of course this movie is going to be the biggest moneymaker of all time. Star Wars, the movie tickets were like $3, $4, $2. Star Wars,
well, you figured that out too, because you know the whole thing was, it was funny because I was sitting in a car with someone I won't mention, and actually Roger Corman, and we were talking about that because what beat out Gone with the Wind was the biggest moneymaker of all time, but movies were a fucking quarter back then.
That's right. Yeah. And Star Wars, I think, was $1.95 when it was released. But then I looked at, okay, Dark Knight was $7, $7.50. Well, this movie, this is no joke, in the IMAX 3D, $22. $22 for a ticket to see this movie, Avatar. You don't think you're going to win with those ticket prices? Of course you're going to win. Jesus, some theaters were $26.
God, $26 back in the 70s. I could have got drunk and blown for that kind of money.
Well, hell, could have went to a real concert and actually enjoyed a cultural experience.
A real
concert
back then was like $5. You kidding me? $10. Hey, you know something? Here's something somebody should do. I mean, there's probably a bunch of people sitting out there with a lot of time on their hands. Take like fucking Avatar and see if you can break down, go in with an even number, because you can't say 20. Go in with 15. Take their tally. Divide 15 into that, and then... That would tell you the amount of people that went to see that. And if you could do the same thing with Gone with the Wind, I'll bet you there really ain't that much of a difference in demographic as far as people are concerned, not money. It's a shitload of difference when money's concerned.
True.
Yeah, it's, you know, fuck. What the hell? Some crazy shit.
It is crazy.
I think I hear a car pulling up.
Hey, really? Wow, yeah. So your guest may actually show up?
He's... Wait a fucking minute. Yeah, I'm looking out the window. And it's him. It's him. Piece of shit car is smoking for some reason. Maybe they're smoking in the... Maybe they brought Pete something. Hold on.
Man.
Come on in, dude. It's only hey, taking a speaking lifetime. Of the devil, literally.
My friend Peter, how are you, my friend? Oh, my God, look at this room. It hasn't changed since the last time I've been here. Oh, my God, you have more porn than any man has a right to own.
Well, thanks, dude. I mean, well, you know, this is what I do. Oh, by the way, your order's by the door, and here's a complimentary copy of Extreme Sleaze Showcase 2 and the Naughty Nudes Collection.
Oh, thank you, my friend Peter. Is this you on the cover? My God, you're hung like the proverbial bear.
It's just a drawing, you know. It's not. I mean, I shouldn't say it's not real. I might be fucking myself up here.
Oh, my friend, it looks very real indeed.
Well, thank you. And I know you're pressed for time because you're the prophet and you got a lot of shit to do. But maybe you can fill us in on this shit that happened with South Park and why this whole thing backed off. A lot of guys don't understand what's going on.
Let me explain something to you, my friend. I do not give a shit what they do on South Park, okay? I do not give a shit because they've done the same thing with Jesus Christ. They made him a regular, reoccurring character. They did the same thing with the Christian God. They made him a big, ugly motherfucker. And they were going to do something with me. They had me in a bear suit, for Christ's sake. Who cares? I was in a bear suit. But for whatever reason, these extremist pieces of shit call in, threaten to kill Trey and whatever the fuck the other man's name is, and all of a sudden, Comedy Central... They lose their balls, for lack of better words, and they put a plug in the episode and they censored the episode. I didn't see it. I was out doing other things that night. But my God, why did they do that?
I don't know, Big Mo. I honestly don't know. It's like, you know, they've been on the cutting edge of stuff, and like they basically insulted just about everybody they can insult. So, you know, I figured, why not insult you too? I mean, you know, you're not immune to criticism.
Tis true, my friend. Tis true. I am not immune to criticism. I wish my followers would realize that. I mean, my real followers realize that. The Quran is a book of peace and love. It is these fucking douchebags that somehow have twisted my words around, just like some of you, those Christian fundamentalists of yours have twisted your words around and made the Bible a nasty book, and they made the Quran a nasty book. We preach peace and love and harmony. They preach violence and terror and blowing shit up and suicide bombers. We do not need this shit here. We need peace, love, and harmony.
Dude, I agree with you 100%. You know, that's why... Oh, by the way, you want to hit off this joint here?
Oh, that looks very good. Thank you. Thank you very much, my friend. Oh. Ah, that is how you say the good shit, no?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, I get the best. You know, me and Tommy Chong, we're personal friends, and,
Ah, you are a lucky man to have such good friends, my friend. I'm lucky to consider you among one of my friends. I mean, who else would supply me with such diversions when I have to be cooped up and listen to this nonsense with these extremists? I mean... They're cutting people's heads off. They should be out enjoying getting head, not cutting head off. Who wants to lose head? It is better for you to get head than lose head than cutting off head. I don't understand. And these women, I mean, I know a lot of Muslim women yearn to be free, yearn to embrace the Western ways. And I urge them too because, Peter, my friend, you have never stuck your head into one of those burqas. My God, the scent will knock a camel off a shit wagon. I cannot believe it. But no, I encourage them to do so.
Well, you know, that's really cool because, you know, I'm glad you came on because all we get is this bullshit about this nasty stuff and how they want to kill us and stuff like that.
No, my friend. It could nothing be further to the truth. I don't want them to know and to kill anyone. Not at all. I do not want this violence. I think we should all do what you do. Indulge and go fuck our brains out because this is the reason these people are so screwed up in the head. They do not fuck enough. It is a backup of that deadly poisonous semen and it's affecting their brains. That's why the brains turn to mush and they want to go out and kill things and blow things up and stuff. I do not want this. I did not write about this. I mean, I know what I wrote and they're twisting it around just like that evil bitch Sarah Palin does with the Christian Bible and stuff like that. And her followers, these people that believe in the rapture and if they bring upon the Crusades again and the Christians wipe out the Muslims and the Muslims wipe out the Christians, they will go straight to heaven and all that other stuff.
Oh, yeah. You know something? Yeah, you just brought something up. I wanted to ask you about this heaven because... various religions have various interpretations on this religious thing. I don't understand something. That you are promising your followers 72 virgins?
72 virgins? What is this bullshit? Somebody wrote more crap. I did not write here. 72 virgins. Peter, my friend, would you want to break in 72 virgins? Do you know what a pain in the ass that would be to teach these women how to satisfy you? Would you not rather have 10 or 15 working girls from back in the day, as you say?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Hey, you know, you got that. Get me working girls with knee pads any day of the week. Who the fuck, who has time to teach them tricks? I mean, you know, you got to watch wrestling, you got to watch porn, you got to watch horror films. I don't know what you guys do for all.
Speaking of that, my friend, I've seen some late movies lately, some great movies from your country. I have to say, Mel Gibson, he is not aging well at all. I saw that film Edge of Darkness. It was sort of like Lethal Weapon in the geriatric ward. Not a good one at all. He should stick to making more fucked up movies about Jews killing Christians and people getting their hearts cut out by the Mayans. And I heard he wants to make a Viking movie or something like that. Let the crazy little bastard go over there. He's nuts. He shouldn't be on TV or a film anymore. Get rid of him.
Yeah, back to this whole 72 virgins thing. I always thought that was a misnomer.
A misnomer indeed. It could not be further from the truth. Who would want these women? They would be useless. They would just be like housemaids and things like that. Well, my friend, I hate to make this a short visit, but you did ask me in since you and I are tight, and since you gave me this lovely parting gifts here, I figured I'd come down and straighten out the situation for you right now. So I have to go. My driver has the car running outside because the piece of shit will not, if I turn it off, it will not fucking start again. I don't know why I buy these Japanese things anyway. My followers cannot make a car for me to drive.
You know, dude, I think my producer, Todd, thought you came in on a magic carpet. Isn't that fucking funny?
Well, if I wanted a magic carpet, I could come on it, but it's too Aladdin and the 40 Thieves. I don't want to do that. They're not a fucking movie I can't stand. They paint my people in such a bad light. But anyway, thank you, my friend. I'm going to be taking my DVDs and taking my leave of you. To all my fans and followers, do not listen to these extremist bullshits. They are full of shit, and that is that. Take care, my friend. Love you much. Take care.
Dude, thanks for coming in. Thank you very much. We'll be in touch. I'll tell you when I get some more shit in. Thank you.
Whew. God, that was intense.
Yeah, it sounded like it. But, you know, that is one of the most irritating things ever. And here's the problem. Comedy Central, without really telling them they were going to do it, censored the episode for the South Park guys, cut it, not only cut it, bleeped it, put in censor pads everywhere, even bleeped the ending. You know, every South Park has the big, I learned something today at the end, you know, the speech. Yeah. And this speech didn't even mention Muhammad at all, but they still beeped the hell out of the speech to the point where it was incomprehensible. Then they wouldn't even allow the South Park guys to post the uncut version on their own website. Now, the thing is, that was a win for these extreme a-holes who are apparently in lack of sense of humor and really need to get down to Walmart because I hear they have a sale on senses of humor for the next couple of weeks. You can buy sense of humor in different flavors like, you know, the religious sense of humor and the political sense of humor.
No, I mean, you didn't think I was going to fucking get him here.
Well, that's true. That's true, and I was kind of surprised. But at the same time, what he said was very pertinent. And, you know, the week after the South Park thing, they did the exact same thing now to a movie and to a band. They're getting a rock video taken off of the air. And we need all the rock videos we can get, honestly, because if you've noticed lately, MTV must mean minority television because all that's on there is hip hop and rap. So we need all the rock videos we can get, and they're getting it removed because supposedly the lyrics and the images are offensive to Muslims, even though it's not political at all. And it's the people who made the song are like, "What are you talking about? It's not even about Muslims." So yeah, it's getting out of hand, and once you allow it, then it just gets worse. It's kind of like here in Kansas City, they allowed the Pleasant Valley Baptist Church to come down and picket and get movies taken out, your films, as well as like goofy stuff like Girls Gone Wild taken out of the Best Buy stores. Once that happened one time, it spread like wildfire. Now they're taking everything out. Now they're yanking the anime out. So that tells you.
Great. It's a wonderful place.
It's wildfire is what it is. It's not a good thing. People, once you give 1 inch of your foothold for freedom, it's easy. Hold on a sec.
Oh, he's at the fucking door. What's wrong, dude?
Peter, my friend, my car is stalled out. Do you have a pair of jumper cables I can borrow?
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Hang on. Can we put me on pause for a sec? I'm going to run out and jump Mo. Jumpstart Mo.
All right, be right back. You jumpstart Mo. Lord, while Pete jumpstarts Mo, I'm going to tell everybody out there about the wonderful archives of the Grindhouse Show you can listen to. If you've missed any episodes of your favorite show on Jackalope Radio, it's really easy. You go to jackaloperadio.com or jackalope105fm.com. You go into the archives and you can download any of your favorite shows. Keep them for as long as you want. Put them on your iPod. Carry them around on your favorite MP3 player. Whatever you want to do, they're yours once you download them. And we do all that for free. That's right. There's no charge to listen to Jackalope Radio or to any of these wonderful shows because we're here for you. Without you, there would be no Jackalope Radio. There would be no 42nd Street Pete's Grindhouse. There would be none of the shows that are on the wonderful network. Because without listeners, there's no reason to have shows. So I really want to take this opportunity to thank all of you for your support.
Pete? I'm back.
All right, I thought I heard you. All right.
Yeah, you know something? For a holy man, he certainly drives a more beat-up, banged-up piece of shit than I do. I just told him when I was outside. I said, "Dude, I'm a reverend now. I'm a minister." He was like, "Wow."
Did he believe you?
I showed him the card.
Well, all right.
Yeah. No, he's down with it. I tell you, dude's all right. I've been dealing with him for the last few years. I actually he comes down. He was coming down to Liquidators incognito.
Oh, I see.
You know, because, you know, he's the prophet. He can change his appearance. You know, he's coming down. He used to come down as a Rastafarian at times. So, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he's cool. He's always been good. You know, he fucking pays cash, though. I gave him, you know, my latest two DVDs, and he bought 100. I had 100-piece order sitting here for him. So, you know.
Well, good. Good.
You know, so he's going to release some tension. This whole thing drives him nuts, too, you know.
Well, the whole thing is boils down to freedom. And, you know, it's so weird. And how many people out there want to take away our personal freedoms. And it's pretty sad. It really is pretty sad. And the same thing over there. I mean, people aren't free, you know. People are. It's just sad. We're humans, man. We were put on this planet not to be enslaved by other a-holes, but to have a good time.
Exactly. Speaking of that, enslaved by a-holes, I don't know if you know what's going on in this miserable fucking state, which is probably one of the reasons, which, well, a lot of reasons I'm leaving, but, you know, the whole politician thing. They got a governor and they got, you know, hardcore on these people because we've had assholes in. And they had asked the teachers to take some kind of, like, ridiculously small pay cut. Oh, no. So yesterday, these teachers actually got their students to go out, leave class, and rally in protest. Do you believe this shit? These people are the bane of fucking society because they teach nothing. And remember that little incident in Massachusetts where that girl committed suicide because she was being harassed, and now they're going after the students. But I say, fuck the students. The teachers knew about it, definitely knew about it, and they let it fucking go on. You know something? Here's a little known 42nd Street Pete fact. I was going to college to be a teacher. But I changed my fucking mind because I saw some of the shit that was going on, the favoritism and, you know, them letting them, going back to the bullying thing, anybody different, anybody weird, they let these kids bully and get away with it. If you didn't go out for sports, you were a piece of shit. I got beat up because I didn't go out for fucking basketball. I was 6 feet tall.
Dude, they tried to beat me up, and then I used a tetherball pole, and that was the end of that. But you're absolutely right. I did the exact same thing. But here's the difference, okay? When you and I were growing up and someone bullied us, yeah, it sucked. But you know what we did? We got our damn lunchbox, the cool, like, banana splits or whatever lunchbox we used to carry, and we'd go out to the playground and we'd fill that son of a bitch with gravel, and we'd go back inside and we'd bash a son of a bitch upside the head with it. We wouldn't turn around and go, "Oh, I hate my life," and kill ourselves, okay? Because we knew that these guys were assholes. So it's a double-edged sword. I get frustrated and people say I'm not compassionate. I'm very compassionate. It's just the fact is, I think it's a ridiculous waste that someone would kill themselves because they're getting bullied at school. Go in there and pick up a board and get a big stick out of the backyard, whatever you got to do, bring it in and bash a son of a bitch upside the head with it. Get a broomstick. I don't care. Go over to the closet while you're there. Say hi to the damn janitor. Grab a broomstick and bash a bitch in the face. That's what I say.
Yeah, exactly. That's, I went through that shit, too. You know, I went to the Catholic school, too, and it was turn the other cheek and suffer for Jesus, but I think we went over that already. So, yeah, sooner or later, I learned how to turn somebody else's fucking cheek. And anybody will tell you, I'm not a fighter. I don't look for fucking problems. And usually when I find problems, it's usually directed against me anyway. So, yeah, I got a big mouth. But, you know, fuck it.
I say what I feel like saying. That's freedom of speech. And a lot of people don't believe in freedom of speech. But I'll tell you what. I just touched on this before and we got sidetracked and then Mo came in and shit. So if anybody has a beef, you know, we've already discussed, you know, the gay and lesbian, you know, discrimination shit and the Chiller Theater shit. And now we talked about the teacher stuff. If any of my listeners want to air a beef or think I'm full of shit or whatever, email me your number, 40deuce spelled out at hotmail.com, and we'll have you on. And, you know, if you're, you know, you're a transgendered person, gay person, lesbian person, bi person, and you want to come on and, you know, tell what happened to you or, you know, air your views, you know, be my guest. You know, we're equal opportunity abusers here. I'm not going to have you on. I'll have you come on and, you know, put over whatever you want to put over. Same with anybody else. I mean, you know, I meet a lot of people here and there, especially at Cinema Wasteland. So any of those guys want to, you know, come on and shoot the shit, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean anything. If you want to, the thing is, and you can do it in a way that's uncensored by us. We don't care. Yeah. Come on here and blast away.
Hey, you can tell me I suck balls, and that's your right. And I can tell you right back you suck balls. And if I start to lose, I'll just cut you off and say, oh, gee, we lost them.
Well, if they suck balls, you'll probably ask them out.
If they suck balls, I'd ask them out?
Yeah.
Probably right. Yeah. There's a lot to be said for ball sucking, as long as I'm not the one doing the sucking.
Well, I was going to say earlier when you said you had a big mouth, I thought you were going to follow up that with, and all the ladies like it.
Well, they do. They did. I'm out of practice though, but I'm willing to get back into the swing of things.
You need someone to help out. You need a trainer. You need a personal.
Yeah, trainer. I need a personal trainer. Yeah, what the hell?
That'll be one of our contests this year. Be Pete's personal trainer.
Yeah. Let me create our own social networking site for oral sex called Sit on My Facebook. That will work. It would. People would fucking join up.
I think they'd join up in like rapid numbers. We'd probably. Golly, man, you may have just come up with something. Now someone's going to steal
really,
it.
You know, fucking, you know, people are happier when they come. It just comes down to that. And after people come, they're too fucking tired to bother with anybody. So why not come up with, you know, a social networking site devoted strictly to oral sex? You know, sit on my Facebook. It's an idea. Time has come. It could be a subsidiary of jackalope105fm.com. You know?
Before I get a chance, someone's going to hear this and have the damn thing already built.
Well, you know, more power to them. But, you know,
since
I came
it takes
up with
me
the
6 years,
idea,
you know, see,
fucking
know.
Copyright this show. It was my idea, so.
Since it takes me, you know, like 9 years to do anything.
Yeah, I know. By the time you get around to it, oral sex will be passe. People will be fucking alligators by then because they're differing, you know. We'll get it done.
It's just because I have too much to do, man. So many things to do.
Yeah, I got that problem too. This whole week was, you know, basically phone calling back and forth with Big Mo, you know, because he's got a lot of shit to do too. I mean, he's a prophet for, you know, fuck's sake. What the hell?
Well, yeah.
Got a lot of shit. But I actually did get some quality viewing time in this week.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. The movie he was talking about with Mel Gibson. He's right. Yeah. Mel's short and old and losing his hair. And doesn't smile at all. So it's like, you know, geriatric lethal weapon. It was called Edge of Darkness. I dearly didn't think that was good. I saw another one called Armored with, Lawrence Fishburne was in it. Jean Reno, Fred Ward. Fucking, oh, shit. Why the fuck can't I get this guy's name now? I think he's an Entourage. Kevin Dillon.
Gotcha.
Kevin Dillon, yeah. It's a pretty cool movie about these guys plotting a little armored car heist, but they're the drivers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty good. That one was pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good, and I was like, you know what? The only thing that didn't put it completely over for me was you could tell it was watered down a bit for that PG-13 crapola rating. Because in the 80s or the 90s, early 90s, that movie would have been like one of those balls-out movies with like squibs blasting and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Nobody uses squibs anymore.
I know. It's all crap now. I'm like, dude, you know what? This doesn't even make sense. But I have one thing to say about the film. The soundtrack blows chunks. Get the hip-hop out of the damn movies. I'm tired of it being shoved down my throat.
That's their target audience, though.
A-holes. Yeah, when it's PG-13, that's who they're going for.
Okay. I saw The Crazies.
Okay, cool.
Romero had it down a lot better, and Romero's version was a lot more chilling than this one. And the reason I say that was Romero did more with less.
And oh, okay, yeah. But
that whole thing, the whole thing with when where they didn't show certain things, or maybe they were too politically incorrect right now, but when the National Guardsmen were burning the bodies, but before they burned the bodies, they were taking the jewelry and the wallets off them and shit.
Right.
They didn't have that in there. The only real difference was it was higher on the – when that guy walked – you saw it, right, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. I really liked it, actually.
Yeah. When a guy walked in with the pitchfork, when all those women were bound up and started reaming him with the pitchfork and shit.
I thought it had a lot of tension. It had some suspense. It had good performances. And I thought it was a good updating of the ideas from a different perspective. It's almost like Romero's perspective was a different take. And this was like another group of people from the same situation. So I kind of liked the fact that it didn't rip away anything. It certainly wasn't like the new Nightmare on Elm Street that basically took everything I loved about the original and kind of didn't.
You saw it last night? You went?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you feel like you were ass raped after you left?
Well, you know what? It was 50-50. I thought Freddy himself was awesome. I do not like the fact that, let me get this straight. You're a fan. You know about Freddy. Let's make this very clear. Freddy was never a child molester. He was a child killer.
Killer.
Well, now he's got Polaroids of little kids in various sexual positions.
Oh, you know something? Fuck me. I figured they would go that route. You know, they can't leave well enough alone. They got to fucking rewrite the shit to suit themselves. Child molester. Great. I'm sure Robert Englund feels wonderful about that.
Well, I don't even understand. And the dream sequences weren't really... It's weird. Like, now... Aside from a couple of really cool sequences where, like, you know, in the original, Nancy's trying to run up the stairs, it turns to marshmallow, and you could kind of see the pre-cut holes that she was sticking her feet in. It was kind of cheesy. Well, they did a great thing with that, where she's running down the hall, it turns into a bloody molasses pit, and she falls through the ceiling and goes into the next floor below, and it's really neat. That and a scene where all the students explode into dust, and it's a really cool lighting. Other than that, to be honest with you, you can hardly tell between dream and reality because the filmmakers didn't have enough ability, the director didn't have enough talent to actually figure out how to make the sequences different. It's shot the same whether it's real or fantasy, and that's one of the things that really hurts the film. The creepiness factor is not there. When the girl's in the body bag going down the hallway, doesn't creep you out at all. But like I said, Freddy himself is great. The dialogue is some of the worst written dialogue in the history of horror films. The actors all look like they stepped out of the WB. I mean, the girl, the first half, I didn't even know who was who because I kept thinking this blonde girl that looked like Britney Spears was Nancy, but it wasn't Nancy. She turned up in the second half of the movie. I was kind of glad that they were dying, though, because it was kind of like, you know, all the people I don't like on those stupid shows on the WB were getting picked off one at a time.
Yeah, and they're all going to be at these fucking conventions this summer. All the victims. Friday the 13th reunion, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. I'm like, holy fuck, who thought of this?
Yeah, but you know what? At least back then, the Friday the 13th kids looked like people we hung out with. They didn't look like...
Well, maybe people you hung out with, but nobody I hung out with.
Well, Kevin Bacon looked like it's a normal dude.
Oh, that you're talking about Friday the 13th. That was way back. I'm talking Nightmare on Elm Street kids. Yeah, you know, that's what I'm talking.
Well, the Nightmare on Elm Street kids on that first one, I just... everyone
was it one from Johnny Depp?
Yeah, and all those kids looked normal. I mean, I just got the Blu-ray, and anyone that really wants to see that movie, beautiful... That's the most beautiful I've ever seen this movie. It even looks better than it did in the theaters. It is unbelievably awesome. And like Heather Langenkamp, for God's sake, she goes through the movie with a crater on her forehead, Mount St. Helens. She had Mount St. Helens on her forehead waiting to erupt the entire movie. Yeah, that huge, like, whatever that... She looked like the girl next door. She really did. Everyone in there looks pretty normal, except for there's like one or two that look a little MTV-ish, but the rest were pretty normal.
See, I never really gave a fuck. I was rooting for Freddy. I wanted him to wipe out all those people. I didn't give a shit. Number two made absolutely no sense whatsoever.
It sucked balls. It sucked. Yeah. You know what, though? The first one, the only part that doesn't hold up is when he stretches his arms out in the alley. And they're,
yeah.
That was a horrible effect then, and it's a horrible effect now. But the rest of it, like they had CGI for the wall thing where he comes out of the wall in the new one. The CGI comes out. He comes way out of the wall, does a spin around. It's like he's on a roller coaster. He comes down, looks him in the face. No, that sucked. The original, when they had the Lycra, it was just some fabric, and they lit it really creepy, and they had the guy press his face down through the wall, so it looked like the wall was stretching out to grab Nancy. That was chilling, man. That was awesome. The new one, man, forget it. I don't even know.
No, well, Andy Kopp, if you're listening, save your money. Like I said, it'll probably be on demand in 2 weeks. 1, 2, Freddy's coming on you.
3, 4, he stuck it in your back door. 5, 6, he wants you to suck on his dicks. 7, 8, he's starting to masturbate. 9, 10, oh God, he's doing it again.
That's awesome. I don't know. I'll tell you what, though. The damn place was packed. I mean, it was
I know. Hyping it all up. But you know what it is? It's somebody creating, again, it's like, you think Universal would stand still if someone, then again, they fucking did with that. Oh, that stupid-ass fucking movie, Van Helsing, when they recreated the Frankenstein monster.
Oh, don't get me started. Jackie did an amazing job as Freddy Krueger. It was, he wasn't like a, except for one or two lines that he, I mean, wasn't his fault. Some idiot wrote those that really shouldn't be allowed to have a pen and paper. But other than a couple of lines that really sucked, he was chilling. His laugh was great. His face was great. The way he performed. It's not the Freddy you know, but it's really, it goes kind of back to the first Nightmare in the way that it was pretty damn creepy. Other than that, though, I have to give it a solid 4 out of 10. And those four are based entirely on two dream sequences and Jackie's performance. And really, if I rated his performance, I'd give him a 7 out of 10. Only because all right.
Did you get any promoting done for us last night? Because I know you snuck into the fucking movies. So.
I did do a lot of promoting. And
What is it? Pontypool?
Oh, yeah. Pontypool.
Yeah, I watched that too, and it's both movies, The Crazies of Pontypool. I guess the government's solution to everything is to fucking nuke the town that it started in.
Well, that started with the Return of the Living Dead, remember that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, this was interesting because it was the same premise, but you never really saw anything because it's all from the perspective of this disc jockey played by Stephen McHattie. And it's in the basement of a church, and basically he's hearing shit as it happens, and there's some kind of, you know, viral outbreak that makes people go fucking nuts and want to kill each other. But here's the clincher. It's carried on words. A certain word will trigger this thing off, and then you have to get out of the word or something like that. It's one of those things you got to see. It's but again, great. they nuke everybody at the end. So
I loved it. I actually saw Pontypool about 3 months ago, and I thought it was an amazing, amazing film for what it was. I mean, they didn't have any money, and they did. I was riveted.
All right, let me show my dumbness. Stephen McHattie's been around for a long time, ain't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think he was one of those guys. He was, I guess he was one of those younger guys in the 50s or 60s.
Character actor?
Yeah, I should look it up because I'm just, you know, then, you know, disappeared. And all of a sudden he's shown up in this, and I think he was in Shoot 'Em Up.
Yep.
Yeah, he was in Shoot 'Em Up. So he's interesting because he's got that craggy, weathered look that, you know, that I sort of have, but you know.
I'll tell you what, when he was talking on the radio, it sounded kind of like you, I thought. His voice sounded like a lot like yours, and I was thinking, man, why didn't I think of doing this with Pete? This would have been pretty cool. Only instead of, like, people having viruses that on words and made them, like, lose it, it would be all these people with repressed sexual problems from the Midwest who would be charging to try to kill you. It would have been really cool. We could have had, like, all these crazy nymphomaniacs. But, of course, I don't know that you would turn them away from the door. You might let them all come
in.
Yeah,
I would. I've been there, done that. Everybody wants to have a nymphomaniac. Well, boys, guess what? It's not what it's cracked up to be. Trust me. It's not. And I don't want to go into detail because, you know, I just don't. But that'll be another sordid story for fucking Wasteland when me and Ken are totally shit-faced and say way too much fucking things that get us incriminated. But we were talking the other day, and I said, you know something? I'm not going to sweat it because everybody I would talk about was dead anyway. So, but speaking of the Midwest, check out That's Rentertainment on 114.5 East College Street, number 5, upstairs at Iowa City, Iowa, for all your 42nd Street Pete and porn and cult needs. It's a great store, and it just caters to the sick fucks that listen to this show. So if you're out in the Iowa area, feel free to check it out and say hi to Ross for us. That's Rentertainment, 114.5 East College Street, number 5, on the second floor in Iowa City, Iowa. A college town. You can get your education right there. Oh, Media Blasters is still closed, so I'll give you an update on that when that reopens. And we're just about out of time, and I want to thank my buddy Big Mo for stopping in and enlightening us. And stay tuned for the Dark Girl's Pleasure Chest with Marcia, coming up next. And until next week, stay sick.
Forty Second Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh shit. Oh, why? Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
2, 3, 4.
Oh.
Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to
die.
Come on, here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here, too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything. It isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit. People equal shit.
What you gotta do?
People equal shit.
I'm not afraid of you.
People equal shit.
Everything you'll never be.
People equal shit.